Well, hello everyone. Welcome to another Tech Doctor podcast. I'm so glad you joined me this evening. I promise you this is going to be a fun one. We're taking a virtual trip to a beautiful Caribbean island called Puerto Rico. And I'm really excited about doing this because you're going to get to hear some interesting sounds and even more importantly, meet a really interesting man that I've recently gotten to know and have enjoyed him so much through the Zello walkie-talkie app that I knew that I really must have him meet you all on the Tech Doctor podcast. His name is Ricardo Gonzalez. We know him as Ricky. He's from Puerto Rico, and he's agreed to spend some time with us tonight. So, Ricky, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Robert. It's truly an honor to be on your podcast. Yes, as you mentioned, we met through Zello, and it's been an amazing experience. We have met a lot of friends we have been able to share through Zello. It's an amazing app, so yeah, I'm very happy to be here on your podcast.
Yeah, Zello is amazing. I've made a lot of good friends there too. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about meeting you, Ricky, was the way that you were able to blend some ideas about yourself and about what it's like on the island of Puerto Rico, and also about your use of technology, and all those things were just fascinating to hear about. Not to mention the fact that I know you are involved with parrots and interesting birds and dogs and wonderfully interesting things. So we're just going to sit back and spend the next 45, 50 minutes chatting about some of those things. And if you don't mind, tell us just a little bit about yourself, things that you would like us to know about kind of who Ricky is. Just talk a little bit about you, if you will.
Well, I'm your average person. I lost my eyesight at age 29, so before I had perfect vision. So I'd say I lived the two worlds, which obviously I was able to see. And now I want to make a little statement. I am not fully blind. I'm totally blind of one eye, and I can only see silhouettes out of my left eye. So many of the things I might be talking about, some persons, if I hadn't said this, might think, well, how can he do it? Well, I have developed and adjusted myself from day one, thanks to the help of my lovely wife. Her name is Mary, and she's also in Zello. She follows us around and helps us out when we can't figure things out.
Your situation is that up until age 29, you had normal vision. So I'm guessing that that must have been a huge change for you at that point. I assume you were living your life as a typical young man, driving yourself and doing the things that people in their 20s do. And wow, all of a sudden, I guess it was all of a sudden, you lost your vision.
In the beginning, I'm not going to lie about this. It was very hard, but I was able to overcome this and really in less than 1 year, because I lost fully my eyesight. The last day I was able to drive was to my wedding. And 3 months after my wedding, both of my retinas were displaced. And from that same day on, my wife, you know, she did not panic. And we decided that this was my new life. The old Ricky that could see and drive around and do everything, well, he can still do everything. He can still have fun, but he cannot drive, which I still have driven. I cheat the system because I'm a person that likes to push the limits. Every single day I wake up, I'm glad that I'm alive, and I do more than yesterday. You know, every day is for me as I must do more than yesterday. So I consider myself a much better person now that I'm visually impaired / blind. I do appreciate, it's strange to say, I see the world better now. I understand more things when before I would just look over them and keep on walking. Now I enjoy the sounds. As we have spoken, Celo, you know, I love sounds of birds, my frogs. I'm very proud of my Puerto Rican little frogs. They're singing all night.
We can hear those frogs a little bit in the background.
Yeah.
Not too well. So, I know you're on your iPhone on Skype, and the iPhone does a pretty good job of canceling out background noise, so we can't hear them too well. But I have heard them a little bit, and the Puerto Rican frogs are just fascinating. If you ever get a chance to go down there, you should go and listen to them in person. But it sounds like that must have been a huge shock or a huge adjustment for you and Mary to make. I mean, you know, just married and faced with this change in your life. That must have been quite a time for you all.
Mary's, she's a medical technologist. She's in charge of a lab. She can take blood tests out for me to take them to her work and check to see how I'm doing. Because also, well, I want to mention that I'm a diabetic, a type 1 diabetic since age 10. And as we mentioned, I lost my eyesight at age 29. And this past Sunday was my third anniversary of my kidney transplant. So in July 8th, 2009, I had this kidney transplant. I was doing dialysis since 07, May 07. I was doing dialysis, Robert, from 12 to 14 hours a day here at my home. I opted the slower system because I sweat a lot. I like to drink fluid, so this system would permit me to be able to eat a little bit more and be able to drink more fluids, because dialysis is the only way we can remove fluids from our body and clean our blood. So you probably, now that you know me, you always hear me jumping around because, well, it's very hard, but I was very positive because for 26 months, I was connected to a machine 12 to 14 hours a day, which I really pray that nobody has to go through this, you know, because it's not easy. So I have been put many challenges in my path, and I'm very proud to say I have overcome every one of them. And this is with the help of our God and my surgeons, you know, and my wife. You know, it's been amazing.
It is an amazing story, really, and I'm just struck by what it must have been like, a huge emotional roller coaster, because you find someone, you fall in love, you get married, that's so exciting. Then the visual problems come along, then the kidney issues, and having to sort of bounce back from all those things is just in itself kind of an interesting and remarkable story. It seems like you were pretty determined to sort of rise above those issues and continue on with your life, and it's really kind of fun to hear about that.
Yes, always in my days of school, from all the way from elementary school to college days, I always got along with my teachers because they always said I would do well. Even if I thought that things weren't going well for me, they always knew that I would go well. So after I left my old job due to my eyesight, and I reorganized myself instantly, and that's when we've been talking on Zello, that you hear all my parrots in the background and my dogs. I decided to turn a hobby that I had of raising parrots and dogs to a full business. So I got my license with the government to pay taxes and licenses to import birds from the U.S. and breed birds. So being fully blind, because for that time, I still could not figure out the little silhouette I was seeing, because this is what I was saying. I like retrained myself to try to understand what I'm capable to see now. But those days, I didn't understand what I was able to see. So I decided to jump into this business. on my own, no help. Obviously, well, Mary would drive me to the airport, drop me off so I could fly to the U.S. and do business over there and come back on my own with birds and so forth. So I did not have any training. This is the fun part. I did not go to any school for training. I learned how to use the cane, the white cane, on my own. And my graduation, I told Mary I bought an airplane ticket, and I told Mary, take me to the airport. She didn't even know I had purchased the ticket. I told her, take me to the airport Saturday morning. Actually, it was a Friday morning because she had to work. I said, I'm leaving on the first flight Friday, and pick me up tomorrow in the afternoon. This is my flight number. And she says, wait a minute, you're going to Miami, then you're going to Atlanta, and then you're coming back? And I said, yep, I got to pick up birds in Miami. I cannot fly back from Miami to Puerto Rico with them, so I have to go to Atlanta and then come back. And she says, are you crazy? Are you going to do this? And I told her, yes, if I'm capable of doing this, I'm capable then on my own to do anything. And I did it. No fear. I just got on the airplane, asked for help. I always tell people this. And when we're on solo, the magic words is please and thank you. You know, you do a lot of things by asking and saying thank you after somebody helps you. Those are magic words.
About how long had you been blind when you took that trip to Miami to get those birds?
About 3 years.
About 3 years. And yeah. So during those 3 years, you had done the adaptations that you could figure out to do to get yourself going and do all the things that you needed to do. And so you went and got those birds, I guess, kind of as proof that that you were ready, or as proof that you could do those things.
Yes, because I had been doing business over the phone with the bird breeder in Florida. And he knew I couldn't see, and I do appreciate all that what he did for me, because he really helped me out. He taught me more about the birds. He told me which birds I should be buying, because it would, you know, I would be able to sell them quickly and get the most profit out of them. And it came the day when I said, you know, I really gotta go over there, shake his hand and meet him in person. So they invited me over to stay at their home. And I told, my wife was nervous. I told her, well, Mary, I have been sending them thousands of dollars, and I don't think they're going to kill me, because they aren't going to get more money from me.
Exactly.
So then we went through with it. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. They treated me so nice, so kind. So it's just, like I said, it's just incredible over the phone. And for that time, I did not have an iPhone. This was just with what I would call an accessible phone, which only I could mark numbers and hope that I had dialed the right number.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I guess I kind of have a theory, Ricky, or at least my own experience has been that when I successfully do something like what you did, when I go somewhere by myself and carry out a transaction and come back, I typically find that I feel a bit more confident. I feel a bit more positive about myself and about my capabilities. And I guess I'm wondering if you had that experience. Was it, were you happy about the way it worked when you got back home and you had those birds?
Yes. It's like taking a test when you're in school. You studied, you know, you mentally prepared yourself, and you're going in for this test saying, I know I'm going to get a good grade. I know I'm going to get an A. But being able to do it 100%, it was a perfect test. It makes you even happier. And that's what that trip did for me. So from that day on, then I opted that, I was earning my money. I was doing my things. But then I said I had to open up my doors and teach others in my island, other persons that are blind or visually impaired. The road is hard, but if we opt to stand up, grab a cane, grab a broomstick if you don't have a cane. Learn to move around. They're really going to enjoy life. So I do volunteer here in my town. City Hall has an office, which is to help people. And there's a person that he's in charge of doing the sign language for the deaf persons. And he needed help because he did not know how to react and help persons. And in another office, they told them about me. They had seen me in City Hall. And they, for some reason, you know, I had to give them my phone name and phone number. So they gave him my number. And all of a sudden, City Hall calls me up asking if I could help them. And I didn't even ask for payment. It just came out of my mouth. I want to do it. I want to volunteer. I do not have to be paid. So every once in a while, there's some new visually impaired or blind person that needs help, and they come pick me up, and I show them, you know, I take a few of my things, and I tell them, you know, where I bought it, what is the reason I use it. I have purchased canes for them, and we have gone around town, you know, walking, you know, somebody watching out for us, but in the background, as I walk with the person and make him feel confident, and I don't know if the word is correct, feel proud that you're blind. I'm not ashamed to be blind. I'm proud of going out with this white cane and showing people how capable I am.
It's a great point that you're making, and I really want to highlight it about the difference between being ashamed of blindness and being proud of the things that you can accomplish. It doesn't have to keep you from being successful. It doesn't have to keep you from helping other people. It doesn't have to keep you from being a leader in your community. And that's really exciting to hear about. I am curious, though, are there services other than people like you volunteering? Does Puerto Rico have services or are things available for people who are blind, or how does it work on the island there if you're a blind person?
Okay, Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. We're just from Miami going into the ocean, going south. It's a two-hour flight from Miami International Airport to San Juan International Airport. San Juan is our capital city. So all the laws that go on in the U.S. apply to us. We have the same currency. The laws right now that President Obama signs, they do affect us. So here in Puerto Rico, we do have rehab to get equipment. We do have a chapter of the NFV, which has been here now, I think, for 18 years. It's very hard. Even that Puerto Rico's an island, we're 93 miles long and 33 miles wide, so we're a small island. But for myself, that I live on the East Coast, you know, as far as the East Coast, I would tell you only 5 miles away from my home, I can jump right into the ocean. The NFB is an hour and a half's drive from my home. So if you aren't in the metropolitan area where you have better transportation, the urban train and basic public transportation, it's hard for us because we depend on that City Hall might offer the service if we're at their distance. So we can do this call and travel. But it's low. There's school for the blind also, but once again, it's only in one town. So if you live on the opposite town side of the island, it's very, very hard. And I have been here working in City Hall because the City Hall in my town, it's from the same political group as our governor. And my goal is, now, after these elections in November, if both my town and the governor are reelected, My next step is to make my way to the governor's office. I have to have a serious sit down with him because we need help, you know, but not, I don't mean help that we want things for free. We just need some services so we can be more mobile, be able to move from point A to point B, or even dedicate in some schools a classroom to teach Braille, to teach mobility, because technology has given a jump forward, but I don't know how to read Braille. And I understand that for a blind person from early ages, literature is very important. The organization of words, punctuations. We cannot teach them just with dictation functions like on the iPhone, use Siri to write a sentence, because we'll never understand the set out of the letters, why there's a paragraph and spaces and so forth. So I would really like to see more accessibility in that way to teach. Doesn't matter the age, but once you need to learn Braille for it to be there, for you to be able to say, okay, there's no excuse. I just have it in town and it's only Saturdays in the morning or so forth.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Ricky. I am a big proponent of the use of Braille, and I'm very saddened by the fact that it has really dropped in its popularity. Here in the U.S. schools, certainly Braille is not taught to nearly as many people as it used to be, and even now, sometimes parents have to fight to get schools to teach Braille to their blind children. And it's in my mind, at least, it's a major mistake, because you need to have a literary capability. You need to be able to, as you said, to see how things are spelled and punctuated. You need to know how sentences are structured. You need to have a way to write things down. I mean, it's great that we have the speech technology, the talking computers, the talking phones, and all that stuff is great, but it should not and cannot, in my mind at least, replace a written language. And so I'm really glad to hear you say that. Do you have any idea whether or not Braille is used very much on the island of Puerto Rico? Do you know whether many people use it there?
Yes. When I was going to the NFB, a lot of persons there were using Braille. They had I hope I'm saying this, stylus.
Uh-huh, slate and stylus, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They had that, so because... See, Mary, I go back always to my wife. She's a blind-sided person because she works blind with me. She
yeah.
works blind with everybody else. You have heard her on Zello. She listens to it at work because if somebody comes up with a question, you know, some of these apps do not express everything correctly.
Right.
You have to edit the names. So she will call me up from work and tell me, hey, Ricky, the answer to this, what they're doing, asking is this. So put it in, because I just opened up, downloaded the app immediately, and I checked out what's the problem. The button is not labeled. That's why you guys aren't finding it. Because she will just switch her phone, iPhone, to VoiceOver. So she, because it said in the beginning, I told her, Mary, you must close your eyes to understand what I'm going through, because it's so easy when we are able to see, to just point our finger and say, right over there. And when you can't, it's, well, over there, where?
Yeah, I really have to agree with you that from what I know about her, Mary is truly a remarkable person. And it is so cool that she understands VoiceOver and she knows how to turn it on and check an app to see whether it's VoiceOver compatible or not, and that is just the coolest thing. And it's such a boost when a family member takes that kind of interest in something like that. I know I have a 19-year-old son who's of course fully sighted, and sometimes just because he knows about it, he turns VoiceOver on and uses it on his phone instead of looking at the screen. And in fact, for a while he had an iPhone with a broken screen, so he just used VoiceOver. And just the fact that he was able to do that, you know, is really kind of exciting, that he's integrated himself into this world enough to know what it's all about. And that's what Mary's done. And you know, there's no substitute for that kind of support when you're going through something like what you've gone through. It's just been a wonderful thing for you to have Mary by your side like that.
Yes. So the here in Puerto Rico, everybody knows that the blind exists, but many persons are afraid to talk to them, and sometimes, or talk to us will be the term. Mm-hmm. I blame us for this. Because as you have heard me, I like to talk. And I learned from it since a child, when you go in places, you say good morning. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. And I force people to talk to me because I don't give them any other option. And all of a sudden they say, wait a minute, this person is blind, but he talks. And I'm like, yeah, the only part that's ruined are my eyes. I can talk, I can hear. I make jokes, I laugh, I eat. So I keep joking with the people. I sometimes start conversations. Obviously, I pull out when it's too quiet and I know they're just looking at me. I just like show off. I pull out my iPhone with the screen curtain off so nobody can see anything. And I just start playing with my iPhone, swiping here, opening up apps, doing phone calls. And all of a sudden, I have a group beside me asking questions. And then it comes out that they have a nephew, they have a grandson that can barely see, and they wanted to know, you know, how this phone works, because they were amazed what they were hearing. So I use my iPhone always as an icebreaker when I'm in places that people don't want to talk.
Yeah, it's a great icebreaker. And but even I think even ahead of that really is that the idea you're expressing so well is that you have to be willing and able to communicate. You have to be willing to start that conversation, to say good morning, to say, come on, people, you know, I'm a person first and I'm blind second. So let's deal with mm-hmm. the person part for a little while and forget about the blind part, because when you come right down to it, you know, I'm a lot more like you, a lot more similar to you than I am different from you. Just because I'm blind doesn't mean I'm not a person. You know, that's such a great point. But I am curious though, from the way that I hear your story, you didn't really know much about the world of blindness. You didn't really know much about how people did things and how people accomplished what they needed to get done. So how did you get involved with this technology? I know that you use a computer, you use an iPhone, I know that you use the technologies that we have today. How did you get started with all that?
In the beginning, I knew about the screen readers. So Mary did a whole bunch of searching for me. And my first computer, I had Window Eyes installed on it. We did not connect it to the internet, because as you know, my patience with technology is very limited. So Mary says, if I connect him to the internet, he's gonna destroy the computer in less than a week. So for a long time, I was learning to use the computer with the screen reader, just the regular PC, not connected to the internet. After I ran my business that way. Mary would do the internet stuff for me. I had my .com page. Mary was in charge of the internet. Then I decided I needed a new computer. But here, all the updates were so costly. So when I realized how much I had to pay just to update my screen reader, I was recommended the screen reader from Cerotech. And I purchased that one, and I got back into shape. I told Mary it's time to connect me to the internet. I have to learn. So my first learn learning was to do searches for things. Then she taught me how to use the messaging to be able to send emails. Then she connected me to Facebook. Then in Facebook, I had a lot of fun because I write on Facebook just as I'm talking. So if I cough, I write on Facebook that I'm, you know, cough. So my friends laugh because they say, you know, you write just as real life. And in Zillow, you know, that I have my channel, the BM's Cafe, which is the short for the Blind Man's Cafe. On Facebook, I put this name up, even that I have my name, you know, on Facebook. I open up and I always tell everybody, oh, good morning. The Blind Man's Cafe is open. I have coffee. I have omelets, French toast. Somebody starts jumping in, you know, making their order. So I have this virtual breakfast place where whatever you order is available. And that's when I got into Zillow. I decided to use that same name as the name of my channel, which obviously when you have visit, you know, we just chat and have fun and we tell our stories, and sometimes we go well into the personal, and you know for a fact that sometimes we touch sore spots, which I have cried for myself and I have cried for the problems of others, because I'm human, you know. I always tell my friends, the male friends, I said, just because you feel sorry, you cry, doesn't make you weak, it makes you stronger. Because emotions is very important, and you gotta let them show.
I agree. You're exactly right about that, and I'm glad that you are the person that you are and that you show those emotions, because it really makes you real. It makes you seem very genuine, and that's who you are, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, I think that the technology has really opened up some doors for you. For people who don't know, Zillow is a walkie-talkie app for the iPhone, and it allows people to talk back and forth just like we're talking here on Skype. Zillow allows people to carry on conversations, and you can set up channels sort of like on a CB radio kind of channel where as many people as choose to can come on the channel and talk to each other. That's what Zillow is all about. It's a really cool app. It's free. If you don't have it, check it out. At any rate, Ricky, at some point you went from the computer to the Apple product, to the iPhone. How did you discover that the iPhone was accessible?
Well, that was a phone call that I did to a store in the U.S. because I had learned about the KNFB reader and I wanted to purchase it. But the whole budget was expensive because I wanted it in the English language. I wanted it also in Spanish, because here in Puerto Rico, a lot of us are fully bilingual. The rest of them, of the persons, will understand the English. So you are able to communicate with them. And by hand signals, they will probably point you in the right direction. So I wanted the KNFB reader with English and Spanish, because I have obviously documents in Spanish. But that was it. That's the only thing I needed it. So the person that was taking care of me told me, Ricky, do you know that the iPhone has a built-in screen reader called VoiceOver? And I said, no, I don't know that. And he says, well, get a hold of an iPhone and try it out. And I said, my wife has an iPhone 4. Already for over 6 months, and he says, well, you have to go into accessibility. Nobody does this. So I told my wife when she came in, I told her, get your phone, go in here, go into accessibility, turn VoiceOver on, and give me that phone. And she says, well, it's a touchscreen. I said, just do what I'm telling you. So she did it, and all of a sudden, this huge smile and this huge shine in my eyes popped up. And we went right off to AT&T, and I purchased myself an iPhone 4. And they told me, sorry, you know, man, sir, you can't use that phone. It's a touchscreen. So even in the store, they did not know how you know, how capable this phone was. So then in the store, I had to do the same thing with my wife, and we had a little small meeting. I called the manager and I told him, please let me have a little time with the employees, because I know I'm not the only visually blind person that has walked in here and has had to walk out without a phone. So I showed them, and nobody knew about it. Nobody, not even one, knew that this phone was functional for us the blind. Then the same story happened because I decided to change to the iPhone 4S, and I wanted unlimited data. So I could use the phone freely out on the road, because that's where I need it. Because here in my home, everything is safe. I know where everything is, but out in the street, I don't. So I went to Sprint, which is the only carrier here in Puerto Rico that will give me unlimited data. Once again, they tell me, sir, you're touching that, sir, that what you have in your hand is an iPhone 4S. And I said, oh, is this the iPhone 4S? This is the one I'm looking for. They said, yeah, but it's a touchscreen. Right there, I did the triple tap home, and all of a sudden, the phone starts talking. I bet you that his face must have said, you broke my phone. You just broke my phone. And from that, you know, I have been hooked with the iPhone, and I have recommended it to everybody, because I know it's a little expensive, and the data stuff is also expensive, but we have to put the price aside and see the benefits, because it's just amazing. You know, my life has changed with all the things I'm able to do with this phone.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful, wonderful thing, and that's a terrific story. You know, it's just sad, I guess, that people there didn't know that accessibility was built right into the phone, but it's marvelous that you were able to show them that, and it's marvelous that Apple did that for us, that you don't have to pay extra for VoiceOver, and it's built in. You don't have to do anything to install it. You just turn it on, and it works. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things have happened that are very positive, and that you're moving in a great direction, and you have some real ideas about ways you'd like to see things advance in Puerto Rico for people who are blind, and you got some ideas that you'd like to move forward on. So I gather that it looks like a pretty exciting time for you coming up here in the next year or so.
I have been playing our big three, which is that six number pick.
Oh, yes.
I'm always joking about this, Ancelo. I have done five numbers on this lottery. And I know, because I know that I'm going to get those six numbers. You know, this isn't that I'm saying I'm probably not. I'm telling you I'm going to get these six numbers. When, I don't know, but I'm sure I'm going to get it. It's weird. I don't want the money. I just need a little bit of money just to put it in the account, so my wife doesn't have to work, and we can do more things. Mm-hmm. I would like to do an area where I could, through the government, or even if you can afford it yourself, tell you, Robert, come down to Puerto Rico. I know you know Braille. You know, stay here with us for free. Help teach a few kids how to use the computer, a little Braille, and come enjoy our island for your vacations. You know, we have rooms that are free for persons that come to help us, because I listen to so many that you have so many schools, and sometimes I hear that some persons, they have to travel so far to do a training or something like this. Puerto Rico has sun 365 days a year. Days a year. So when some states are covered in snow, that it's very hard, what better place than to practice mobility than here in the Caribbean?
You would like to set up some sort of training facility there where people could come in and train people on the island to use these technologies. And what a wonderful idea that would be if that could happen. It seems like a great goal. It's a great dream to have.
Yeah, I have several persons, even managers of banks, which I have presented this idea to them. And, well, obviously, I have to put in the first capital of money into this. And there, obviously, I will get backup from other entities to be able to do something like this. Because I dream big, you know. If I want to do something, I go big. I'm a simple person, but I outgo, you know. I overbuild, and I would really like to have a place. Like you say, a training facility, but also a vacation place,
yeah,
to break you out of that habit and that loneliness, maybe that you're stuck in your home. Because I know that a lot of blind persons only communicate to the world through computers, through Braille documents that get to them, but they don't go out. And this, my wish is that everybody grabs their cane and walks out to their front lawn and get a fresh breath of air. I'm an outdoors guy. Right now I'm sitting outdoors. I enjoy nature. It's just the sounds, the smell. It makes me happy, and I guess I think that it might make everybody happy. I hope I'm not wrong here. When something makes me happy, I hope it makes everybody else happy.
Well, you're making a great point about how important it is to get out in the world. I personally love to travel and go new places, and I've pretty much decided I'm going to make one of my places that I go sometime in the next year or two down to Puerto Rico. I'm going to come down there and check that place out, because I've really gotten fascinated by it, listening to you and talking with you. And we're about to come to the end here, Ricky. There are so many more things that I had wanted to talk with you about. I really wanted to talk more about the birds. I love hearing about the parrots. So what I'm hoping is that, even though we don't have time to do that now, maybe you'd be willing to come back again sometime and do a part two on the Tech Doctor podcast. You think you'd be willing to do that at some point?
Of course, yes. And once again, it would be an honor and a pleasure to be able to share time with you. And I pray that my comments are taken positively. I'm not better than anybody, and I'm not less than anybody. We're all equals here. Like I always say in Zello, what I learned today, I will pass it on. I'm not going to just grab it and keep on running.
Yeah, I love that, Ricky. And thank you very much for being here.
Okay, Robert, before we end, I would like to put in that in Zello, if they want to search in the search, put blind, you can scroll down and you'll find the BM's Cafe. And it would be nice to talk to the persons personally. And I want to say hello to our friends Sarah and Sean in the UK, Angelo in New York. They have been with me this afternoon, getting me prepped up for this podcast. So I want to give them the thanks for this.
Excellent. Yes, hello to Sean and Sarah and Angelo and all of our friends on Zello. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, they're a great gang. They're a great gang. You know, Zello is a lovely app.
It is, and I hope all of you Tech Doctor listeners will join us over there on the Blind Man's Cafe. I've promised Ricky I'll serve you some of that good coffee from Puerto Rico. All you Tech Doctor listeners, please don't turn your listening devices off just yet, because after we sign off here, I'm going to play a piece of music from some music that Ricky sent to me, where it features the sounds of the Caribbean, and you're going to get to hear the wonderful sounds of the oceans and the birds, as well as some great music. So I'm going to put that at the end of the podcast here for you all to listen to. And again, thank you for sending that music, Ricky, and I hope everyone enjoys it. And thank you again for being here. I really do appreciate it. If anyone would like to get in touch with me, would like to comment on the things that Ricky and I have talked about, as always, feel free to send an email to techdoctor123@gmail.com. That's spelled out techdoctor123@gmail.com. And please don't go away. stay tuned for the music. So long for now.